You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Big.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right, it's time for another episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
You sounded like a police car.
The podcast hasn't even started and we already got the popo after us.
That's how you know we're awesome.
Yeah. How you guys doing? I'm Rich Liebig.
And I'm Michael Costanzo.
And this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. We are here to bring you the most interesting tidbits in sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like. That's right.
Yep.
And Mike is dancing. You know they can't see you dance.
I know that.
Very nice. Just as the music ends. But anyway, welcome to the Crispy Noodle Podcast. I feel good. I love doing this podcast every week, bringing you the most interesting tidbits of news going on.
That's right. We have so much fun doing this podcast. We hope that you have fun as well. Let's start things off. Rich, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good today.
Yeah,
you know, got coffee here. Again, your mom giving me coffee. Our crack production team here.
That's right, which consists of my mom.
Yeah.
And us.
Yeah, but that's what makes this podcast good.
Yeah, it's just a little home run operation. Just the two of us working hard to bring you the very best.
Yes, and believe me, you know, we have a lot of fun. But, you know, we work hard to put this podcast together. And I think it really shows, right? Right, Mike?
Damn straight.
Nezhni obosoda rova vitel nezhimzimu.
That's how hard we work.
Yeah.
We work so hard that we lose our minds and begin speaking in tongues.
Yeah. So be prepared if that happens at any point in this podcast.
That's right.
Yeah. Actually, that was a clip from last week when we tried to pronounce foreign words.
Yeah, that was a really fun segment.
Yeah, but wow, we really can't do it.
No, we can't. We can hardly get English right, Rich. Come on. It's not the... It wouldn't... What am I trying to say is that... What am I trying to say?
Nezhni obosoda rova vitel nezhimzimu. I like the end of that.
Nezhimu!
It's like, I'm happy I'm through the word.
I made it!
Yeah. But that's in the podcast last week. If you haven't checked that out, make sure you do so. But anyway, let's get to this week's podcast.
That's right. We got some very important noise.
Noise, yeah. Some noise. All right, so there you go. Great.
What was that?
That was another one of my classic transitions. All right, so there you go. Great. All right. Okay. All right, so there you go. Great.
Wow.
I'm the king of transitions.
So, go ahead. What section?
Can't you tell I could just, you know, be the polish that you need on a radio station
or
something?
You could transition from anything to anything else. So, here's your challenge. Transition from this into our next segment.
All right. So, there you go. Great.
Yeah, I could just play that.
Yeah, there you go. But there you go. Some just quick little tidbits of us messing up.
Let's try this again. We got some very important news for you guys in the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
Woo, sports! Gotta love sports.
Oh, that's why we start off the show, each and every show, with the sports sampler.
Yep. And this first little bit of news is pretty recent.
Yeah.
Just broke off the wire today.
And it's particularly relevant for the Philadelphia area.
Yeah. Michael Vick has officially been named the Philadelphia Eagles season opener starter.
That's right. Chip Kelly has announced that Michael Vick will start the season as the Eagles quarterback.
Yeah.
So
that officially ends the five quarterback race or whatever.
Yeah. Well, was it
going on?
Well, let's cut to the chase. Was it really a race? I mean, did you really think anybody else was going to start besides Michael Vick?
Nick Foles was pretty popular.
But here's the thing. I wasn't shocked at this because you have a quarterback sitting there who's making $100 million, who has been the starter the past 2 years.
They renegotiated his contract.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it's down to like two. Yeah, they renew. It's still a hefty chunk, but it's now only 2 years because they realized there's no way fill out a
but
whole
still,
length
he's,
of the original
he's
contract.
He's getting starters money. He started the last two seasons, and he fits the offense perfectly to a T, the way that Chip Kelly wants to run this speedy, run-oriented, quick offense. So why would it be anybody else besides Vic? He also has the most experience of any quarterback. You got him and then a whole bunch of rookies.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I mean, it's not a surprise that Vic gets named the starter, but to me, the more interesting aspect is going to be, can Vic last the season? You know, I mean, the problem with Vic is that he's just prone to injuries, especially with the scrambles that he does to the outside. And although it's good that he's not afraid to take a hit, sometimes that can hurt you, that willingness to take a hit.
Yeah, you don't want your friend. Well, he's not a franchise quarterback, really. I mean, I don't anticipate him to be around in 2-3 years. But you don't want your starting quarterback to take that many hits in a game.
Yeah.
Especially when he scrambles to the outside, he's taking hits from he's running into sacks.
Yeah, essentially.
That was a big problem that he had in the previous seasons, is he ran into a lot of sacks. He escaped many of them.
But then he also runs into sacks.
Well, exactly, because when you're running around, all of a sudden you run into somebody that's just rushing their normal lane, and all of a sudden the quarterback runs right into his arms.
Boom, 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 boom. They just ran right at him. Yeah, he not only rambled, but he rumbled and stumbled.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
as a quarterback, you can only rumble and stumble so much.
Right. Quarterbacks generally do not rumble and stumble that much.
Yeah.
Well, they stumble. I don't know about rumble.
Yeah. And you don't want to do too many of either, or else you're not going to have good quarterback play.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it's not a surprise that Michael Vick gets named the Eagles starter. But at the same time, the new storyline now is going to be, can he last the season?
Can he last the season, right.
Yeah. And if he does go down, who's going to be the one to replace him? Is it still going to be Nick Foles?
Oh, here's a question. Even, you know, regardless of the injury thing, will he last the season? Maybe halfway through the season, maybe he's not performing.
If he's doing that bad?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's the other storyline, because you know as soon as he starts to falter, there's going to be murmurs, oh, Nick Foles should have started. Nick Foles should have started. Oh, when are we going to see Nick Foles? Right?
Yeah, that's a good point. I hope it doesn't come to that.
But it will. We're in Philadelphia.
It is true. Welcome to Philadelphia.
Remember Donovan McNabb, oh, we should start Kevin Cobb. And then Kevin Cobb was in, oh, we should start Vic. And now Vic's in, oh, we should. I mean, it's a merry-go-round.
Yeah. But, yeah, the more interesting storyline now is, can Vic last the season? And if he does falter, who would take his place?
Right. And the other thing is, Chip Kelly's placing a lot of trust in Vic to get it done for his first season as Eagles head coach.
But you know what? Why not? You know, like you said, all the other guys are essentially rookies.
Yeah. I mean, he does have the best shot at winning games.
Yeah.
When you look at who gives us the best chance to win football games, regardless of what you think about
Michael
Vick.
As of right now, out of the quarterbacks on our roster.
It's Mike Vick.
Yeah.
You're not going to put Dennis Dixon out there?
Yeah.
Or Matt Barkley, the rookie? No. It's got to be Vick.
Yeah, despite whatever glimpses of success that they had in the practice or preseason games.
Right.
But, so, yeah, to me it's not a surprise, but the work is not over yet.
That's right, and it's big news, too, because now we know.
Yeah.
Now that we can see what the offense is going to do. They can tailor it specifically to Vic instead of switching quarterbacks in and out. So I'm excited for the season to start. Yep.
And now Michael Vick can get hurt in week two. All right, fantastic. Yeah, excellent. All right, so there you go. Great. That'll be my transition if Vic gets hurt this season. And Michael Vick gets hurt. All right, so there you go. Great. What the hell am I even saying to that?
What were you trying to say? Like,
I think I was trying to say it was lull. Was I trying to say lull? I don't know.
Lull? I don't know.
I don't know. That's weird. All right, so there you go. Great. I don't even know what I'm saying. Great. But anyway, looking forward to see Michael Vick as the season starter as we approach. We're almost there. We're, what, less than 2 weeks away?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're almost
right
there.
Around the corner.
Yeah.
Can't wait for football season. Yeah. Ugh, it's so awesome.
Can't wait. Yeah, it's always fun. Football season's always fun. Ugh, gotta love it.
Gets your blood pumping.
Yeah. Arguably, you know what? Arguably, I would say September, October is probably the most fun in the sports calendar, because
definitely
you have the beginning of football and the end of baseball.
Oh yeah.
So between the end of the baseball season, postseason, World Series, and then the excitement of a new football season, it's so good.
It doesn't get better than that.
Yeah.
But speaking of the baseball season coming to an end in September and October, baseball season ended early for one Philadelphia person. Charlie Manuel was officially ousted as Philly's manager recently.
No!
Yes, all of Philadelphia essentially said that. Because Charlie Manuel just, you know, he has built himself with this Philadelphia crowd. I mean, he did the ultimate thing to win over Philly fans. Win a championship.
Look, that's all you got to do, guys.
Yeah.
If you want to be popular in Philly, just win us a championship. It's as simple as that.
It is. I mean, really, you could be handing out free cheesesteaks in South Philly, or you could be...
Well, wait. Let's...
No, I'm telling you. No, it all comes down to winning a championship.
If Chip Kelly is a horrible coach and he gives me a free cheesesteak, I'll give him a pass.
I mean, maybe personally for us, but
one season.
On a Philly sports scale, it all comes down to winning a championship.
What have you done for us lately?
Yeah. Well, I think that's the motto that the Phillies brass had in terms of... Well, the whole thing started when Charlie Manuel was... asking about whether or not he was going to get re-signed with the Phillies for more seasons.
Right.
And the Philadelphia Phillies said, as of right now, we have no interest in re-signing Charlie Manuel to another contract, despite the fact that he has, you know, the only World Series win with the Phillies in the last 25 years.
And all the other times we've made it to the playoffs and all the other accolades we've had over the years.
Yeah. Philadelphia Phillies told him that as of right now, they were not interested in re-signing him to another contract. And so Charlie Manuel essentially told Philadelphia brass that if you're just going to let me go, I'm not going to be a lame duck manager. You might as well get rid of me. And that's essentially what happened.
That's what they did.
So it's not really a firing, but it is certainly Phillies have let go of Charlie Manuel.
Maybe not. It's like a parting of the ways.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't say it's a firing, right?
No, not a firing. I said he was...
It's more of both parties were just...
They're done.
We're done with each other.
They're just, you know, cut and dry, just whatever.
Yeah. But for the Philadelphia fans, it was just heartbreaking to see one of our heroes decide to be let go.
He brought us that World Series.
Yeah, and you know, not only that, but he also gave the Phillies 5 division titles.
Oh, yeah.
2 National League pennants.
Yep.
A lot of people forget that. We were in 2 World Series.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the World Series win in 08. I mean, and 1,000 victories as a Phillies manager.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, 1,000. I didn't see that with Boa or any of the previous managers of the Phillies.
Yeah, we've had a very good run under Manuel.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that the last 2 seasons, the Phillies have underperformed.
Yeah, well, here's the thing that I've heard several people personally say is that it, especially in baseball, how much is the manager, can you really blame on the manager? In football, I mean, you can place a lot on the head coach, but the manager, like for instance, somebody that was talking to you said, you know, he sends a signal in for somebody to bunt. It's still up to the guy at the bat to hit the ball.
Well, I mean, that logic, it's still up to the quarterback to make the right throw or to not call an audible.
Right. But I'm saying the coach is much more involved in
gameplay.
Baseball, it's swing the bat. Hope for the best. I mean, no, to a certain degree, right? So how much can really be placed on Charlie Manuel? How much fault can be placed on him? Is it his fault that J-Roll isn't hitting?
No, it's not his
fault. Is it
his
fault that we have injuries?
No.
Is it his fault that the bullpen can't get it done?
No, and it's also not his fault that Ruben Amaro Jr. didn't decide to do a trade at the trade deadline or something.
So how much fault can you really place on him? I mean, realistically.
Well, here's me as a head coach, I guess, if I were to say, all right, Jimmy, go out and bunt. All right, okay.
They're just standing there at the plate with the
all right, and okay. All right, so there you go.
Great.
That would be worse.
Yeah.
What the hell does Coach Liebig want me to do? All right, so there you go. Great.
Coach, that's not a play.
I don't even know. Are you speaking English, Coach? All right, so there you go. Great.
I don't know how the hell I said that on the last show.
Hey, we have our moments.
Yeah.
Dickel.
Exactly. And of course, Mike has his moment with Dickel. There you go. All right. But anyway, just it's sad to see Charlie Manuel go.
Yeah. We wish him the best. Yeah. You know, good luck in whatever he... Do you think he's going to continue on?
Apparently he said he's still interested in coaching, so... Well,
I hope he does. I
guess if another team wants to, you know, hire him as a manager, he'll be up for it.
He's a good manager. They'll be lucky to have him, I think.
Yeah. I wish the Phillies didn't let him go. I don't think they should have.
Yeah, I don't get the move. I don't agree with the move, but who are we?
The bad thing is, with the Phillies having two underperforming seasons with a top 10 salary in the league, you knew an axe was going to fall somewhere.
Right.
But you just didn't think it was going to be Charlie Manuel. You were really hoping it wasn't going to come to... That it wouldn't be his head on the platter. That would be chopped off.
You know, they should blame the upper management before him. Because in baseball, I've always believed that in baseball, you can win with money. I mean, the Yankees proved that the 1 year. You know, they should...
Yankees prove that almost every year they make it.
Well, I'm just saying, you know, if you want to really blame somebody in baseball for a team not performing well, blame the management of the team.
General manager, yeah.
Yeah, go out, spend the money, get the better players.
Yeah.
Spend the money, get the better coaches.
Make the right trades.
In baseball, you can spend as much money as you want. If you have $1 billion, you can spend $1 billion.
See, Yankees.
Yeah, exactly. Isn't their payroll like $350 million
or something? It's around there,
yeah. Absurd like that?
Yeah. And I remember at one point for the Yankees, they had so many injuries that the money that they were paying to their injured players were more than the Miami Marlins roster combined.
There you go.
You know, that's just crazy.
It just goes back to my disapproval of the move. If you're going to blame somebody, blame the front office.
Yeah. But anyway... sad to see Charlie Manuel go, a legend in Philadelphia Phillies history as far as we're concerned, right?
That's right.
Yeah. So, he won the World Series.
That's all that matters.
Lest we forget, that's not only the first championship for the Phillies, that's the first championship for any Philadelphia sports team in 25 years.
That's right.
Yeah.
When you combine the four teams, it was over 100 years of drought. Right? 25 years?
25
for each team?
Years for each of the four teams, if you want to put it that way, yeah.
That was the number that was running around.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
25 years of the Phillies, Sixers, Eagles, and Flyers all not winning a championship until Charlie Manuel leads the Phillies in 08.
And it'll be another 25 years now after that.
All right. Fantastic.
But seriously, we wish Charlie Manuel
the
best.
I'm going to be 50 when the next...
Hopefully. Hopefully.
Yeah, hopefully.
Great. There's no guarantees.
Fantastic. We're gonna, and we'll still be doing the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right.
Hey, remember when I was talking to you about the 25 years?
We played the little audio clips on the computer thingamajig.
Now we just pull it up on our hand.
Yep.
And the Google Glasses.
And the Google Glass.
Oh, I lost my Google Glasses.
Oh, no.
Alexa,
I need my prescription glasses to find my Google Glasses.
Wow, we have too many glasses.
That's what happens when you get old.
I like saying glasses.
Glasses.
Glasses. All right, there you go. There's our sports. Yeah.
That was actually a brief glimpse into the future of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, great. Awesome.
Yep.
Whoa, I can make a website. Here's my flashing text. Also that. Yeah. I will be able to make a website with flashing text.
Maybe we'll have flashing text in 50 years.
Yeah. Woo. Whoa, I can make a website. Here's my flashing text. You got to love our sports discussions. Yeah. We don't stay on sports.
They're very rarely about sports.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about sports, and then we transition to, like, goats.
But even though we diverted a little bit there onto non-sports issues, let's get back into sports again. We got one last topic in the sports sampler.
That's right, and it's more baseball news, of course. Not only more baseball news, but an update to a story that we've been following closely here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
A little bit. And this also happened fairly recently, too.
It did.
The Boston Red Sox were facing the New York Yankees, a heated rivalry already to begin with.
Yeah.
That's a legendary rivalry.
That is a legendary rivalry.
And Boston Red Sox pitcher Ryan Dempster was pitching against the New York Yankees, and Alex Rodriguez came up to bat. Now, if you haven't been following the stories, Alex Rodriguez highly criticized for steroid use and lying about it.
Yeah. That's the big part.
He was supposed to get a 211-game suspension, but he's currently appealing it, so he's allowed to play while he's in the stages of appeal with the suspension. So he was up to bat at this game between the Yankees and the Red Sox. And Ryan Dempster threw a first pitch that was right into the dirt, bounced up, and hit Alex Rodriguez in the knee. Umpire rules it a wild pitch.
Okay.
No harm, no foul.
Right.
The next two pitches that Ryan Dempster throws are balls, but aren't wild throws, but at the same time, they were very close to Alex Rodriguez's body.
Okay.
Yeah, very close.
So we're seeing a trend here.
Yeah.
Maybe not so subtle.
Yeah. And then with a 3-0 count, I guess Ryan Dempster was like, F it. Let's go all out. And just throws a direct hit that hits Alex Rodriguez right in the shoulder.
Ooh.
And it causes a clear out of both the benches. And this was fairly early in the game. The second inning.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, usually you don't see clearing of the bases until emotions run high.
Right.
Maybe like the sixth, seventh, eighth inning when,
but
you know.
Clearly Dempster had a motive here.
Yeah. And that pitch goes, hits him right in the shoulder.
Ouch.
Clears out both benches. Luckily, the umpires are able to maintain control. Nobody gets into a fist fight. However, Yankees manager Joe Girardi yells at the umpire and demands that Dempster be thrown out of the game for the intentional hit. But then the umpire decides to throw Joe Girardi out just for questioning him. So Joe Girardi finds himself ejected.
Do you think maybe there's a little bit of not favoritism, but a little bit of bias with the umpires there?
I don't know. I don't know if it was biased. I think it was just more of the case that...
I mean, I think clearly, it was more, clearly Dempster was aiming for A-Rod, though.
Yes. And here's the story behind why Ryan Dempster was aiming at A-Rod. Now, a lot of people thought that it was because of the whole steroid scandal. And they were hoping that Ryan Dempster was trying to get revenge on the whole lying about steroids thing.
Right.
However, a source says that A-Rod snubbed Ryan Dempster at a public charity event. Dempster was not impressed by him at this event. And then between that and the fact that A-Rod is getting away with the fact that he's allowed to play during his, quote, 211-game
right.
suspension.
I think that's the main thing.
Ryan Dempster decided to plunk him.
Right.
So that brought off a huge wave of, you know, controversy, whether or not he should have gotten away with it.
Right.
But karma is a bitch.
Of course.
Always remember that. I believe in karma.
Oh, yeah.
Because guess what? In the sixth inning, Dempster was still pitching, and he decided to actually, you know, play baseball. And threw pitches at A-Rod. A-Rod came to bat and hit a home run that started a 4-run Yankees rally in that inning. The Yankees would go to win that game.
Yeah, there's karma for you.
And also, A-Rod, when he came home on his home run, he did a David Ortiz-like celebration, which drew the ire of many Red Sox fans.
Of course, David Ortiz played for the Red Sox.
Yeah. As a result of Ryan Dempster purposely trying to hit Alex Rodriguez, Major League Baseball has decided to ban him for 5 games. Is the punishment does the punishment fit the crime?
I think the punishment is more of a they're forced to make a statement on it type of punishment. I mean, 5 games, kind of non-committal, sort of
slap on the wrist.
Yeah, because I think, and I don't know, maybe other people disagree with me. I think the umps were okay with it. I think that baseball was actually okay with it. I'm going to say that they were okay with it because he aimed at him 4 times. And the ump was like, you know, whatever. Sure. Okay.
Did he give him a warning?
Yeah, it was clear that he was aiming for him, right?
Well, the fourth pitch, definitely. That was right towards his shoulder.
The first one, too.
First one hit the ground. I mean...
But it was targeted at A-Rod.
All right, here's another thing, too.
The point that I'm making is that the ump could have thrown out Dempster, but instead he threw out Girardi.
Yeah.
So, doesn't that show a little bit of siding with the Red Sox? Siding with Dempster's motives?
You do have an argument because this was at Boston. This was at Fenway Park.
Right. There's a lot of anger directed at A-Rod right now. You don't think that the umps in baseball sort of... Wouldn't you be pissed if you were baseball management... And he's like, I appeal, so I magically get to play instead of taking a 211. We're going to be tough on steroids, but he's going to get out just because he says, I appeal. Wouldn't you be pissed?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely don't like the fact that A-Rod gets to play, even though he's currently under a major investigation by baseball.
Yeah.
I think when it gets to the point where it's a major investigation, where your legacy could be on the line, I don't think you should be allowed to play baseball.
No, you should have to step down.
Yeah. So but nevertheless, these are the rules that are set up. He gets to...
I think we went over this last week, but I think those rules take all the power out of MLB's hands at that point.
Yeah,
it takes all the bite out of their hard stance on steroids, and I think that the Major League Baseball would not have given that 5-game suspension if people didn't start talking about the Dempster issue.
Yeah,
if they had not started talking about it, they would have let it go. I feel very confident in that because the ump didn't do anything.
No, the ump didn't do anything.
If the ump didn't do anything, why would baseball step in? Right?
Yeah. I say that the suspension is a nice slap on the wrist. It's just a minor penalty. And, I mean...
They did it because they had to.
The fourth pitch is definitely intentional. Right. There's no question about it. He was going to plunk him. The first three pitches, I could see if maybe he lost control of it or...
Three in a row at A-Rod?
Maybe.
And you see that maybe right there. I don't.
And A-Rod was all right. At least he wasn't aiming for the guy's head. I mean, if you're head hunting, that's the worst.
That
needs to go out the door.
Yeah, you don't do that.
For those that don't know, head hunting is sounds what it is. It's the pitcher throws the ball at the batter's head,
and that can happen.
And on purpose, it can happen.
That changes it from a jerk move to possibly life-threatening.
Yeah,
you're talking about a 90-mile-an-hour pitch aimed at somebody's head.
Yeah.
That's not right.
So, I mean, maybe I'm unfairly lenient on this.
I think everybody is, though.
I think this is appropriate. 5 games.
But I think everybody was leaning on it. The umps were leaning on it. MLB was leaning on
it. So you're saying if it was just some other player, what do you think would have happened?
I think maybe they would have been a little more strict with it.
Yeah.
I think the ump would not have let it get to that point. 3 errant pitches at a batter. I think maybe the ump would have said, yo, I don't know what you're doing, but you better chill it.
Oh,
right?
Oh, wow.
Don't you think just a little bit, even a little tiny bit?
I mean, because 3-0 counts happen, you know.
Right, but...
Another thing that I wanted to bring up is he is a right-handed pitcher. So, you know, right-handed versus right-handed, you're going to try and target the inside of the plate.
Right.
So, I mean, it's not – the first 3 pitches are not clear-cut. The fourth pitch is definitely he was aiming at him. It might have gotten to the point where, you know, he realized he was that far behind the count. Screw it. I'm going to hit him. At least let me make headlines. But anyway, that is what happened
in
case you missed
like
that
the way
over the weekend.
The way that it went down, it seemed like he had a clear intention.
All right. Well,
we're leaving
it up to you to judge.
Go look up the video.
Yeah. And determine for yourself, was all 4 pitches done purposefully? And should he got a stricter penalty? It's up to you. I say 5 games is enough. I think that's a good,
I think five
good
games
slap
is
on
fair.
The wrist. Yeah. All right. So there you go. That'll do it for the sports sampler. We had a little distraction, but then we came right back and nailed our sports topics.
Yeah, I think we did all right.
Yeah. All right, and that was our sports sampler. Are you ready for the next portion of the show, Mike?
Of course I am. It is the entertainment entree.
Today, I declare myself officially a rodeo clown.
Where can we sign up?
Wise words there from Glenn Beck. I know we don't get political, but I just love that sound clip.
Yeah.
Today, I declare myself officially a rodeo clown.
He'd be serving us all better that way.
Whether or not you agree or just, you know, whatever. Our job is not politics, but I just love that sound clip.
Yeah.
Today, I declare myself officially a rodeo clown.
So there you go. That's my one random sound clip I'm allowed to bring to the show.
And somehow you always go over that limit.
Yeah, you know. Just,
that's weird, right?
Yeah, somehow it happens. I don't know.
It's the damnedest thing.
All right, what do we got in today's entertainment entree?
Well, some big news out of Germany. Gamescom, a major video game convention, is going on right now. And Sony had some big news to announce. They officially announced the release date for the PlayStation 4.
Oh,
that's okay. Right. The PlayStation 4 officially launches on November 15th in North America, and that includes the United States and Canada. And it launches on November 29th for Europe. And the initial launch includes 32 countries, and over 1 million pre-orders have already been placed.
There we go.
Yeah, so they earned a trophy.
Yeah. I'm excited. It'll be fun to see this next generation of video games.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it kick off and see what great games come out for this generation.
Well, the next generation.
Yeah, yes.
You have to keep in mind that the PlayStation 3 and the Xbox 360 are still actually going to run for a little bit.
That's right, yeah.
Games will still be released for PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360.
They're actually releasing them side by side. So, like, the big games like Batman and Assassin's Creed will release on current generation hardware and next generation hardware. Yeah.
So don't worry if you're worried that you have to buy a PlayStation 4 soon.
No, you'll have
be some decent layover time on this.
Oh yeah, and there's still lots of exclusives coming out for the current generation, like Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah. That's a huge one. Is Grand Theft Auto 5 exclusive?
No, Grand Theft Auto.
Coming out?
No, that's just current gen. It's not coming out for next gen.
Okay, that's what I meant.
So there you go. Grand Theft Auto 5, you can only get it on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. So yeah. You don't have to worry about upgrading to get Grand Theft Auto 5. But interesting you brought that up, though, because that was also a major announcement at Gamescom. I know it's not in the rundown, but Sony and Microsoft are doing this program where you can trade in a current gen title. You can get it swapped out for the next gen version of the game at a significantly discounted price.
Wow, that's good. Good to hear.
If you get Assassin's Creed 4 for PlayStation 3, and 2 months later it's like, oh, now PlayStation 4 is out, you can actually swap that for a PlayStation 4 version of the game for a significantly discounted price.
That's good. They need to do something like that. Yeah. Because
and that's the first time game publishers have ever tried that.
Yeah, I mean, usually it was just kind of like, well, this is the way it is. Yeah. Good luck.
Good luck. Have fun. You're screwed if you bought that title right before the new one comes out. You know?
But it's good that Sony and Microsoft are both trying to ease into the next transition.
Yeah, I think that's a good move.
Yeah.
Especially since the transition is going to bring so many changes to the way we consume and play games. You're talking about no backwards compatibility.
Yeah, but, you know, before PlayStation 2, most consoles were not backwards compatible.
Yeah, but think about how many generations we had backwards compatibility for two straight generations. So people began to expect it to a certain degree.
I'm just saying it shouldn't, you know, it would be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it shouldn't be expected.
But that was the reason why PlayStation 2 sold so well, because people could continue to play the PlayStation 1 games on.
Yeah. It's a nice feature. But it limits the hardware.
Well, same thing with PlayStation 3, though. I bought a PlayStation 3, the only reason I bought the big fat one was because I could continue to play PlayStation 2 on it. Because at that time, I only had one game for PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
So that does help people transition. So I guess this is sort of replacing backwards compatibility in a way.
Or at least trying to make up for the lack of backwards compatibility.
To ease the burden.
Yeah. Good move. I like it.
I think it's a smart move.
Yeah. So at least that way, when you upgrade to PlayStation 4 or Xbox One, it doesn't seem like such a daunting price tag.
Exactly. And you're not left with PlayStation 3 games you can't play anymore.
Yeah, that's always a bummer. You know, especially for this generation, there's a lot of good games I don't want to give up, you know?
Yeah, there are a lot of awesome games, a lot of exclusive games that you want to hold on to because they're so amazing, like Mass Effect and Uncharted and stuff like that.
Yeah. BioShock.
BioShock,
yeah.
Heavy Rain, all those sorts of games, God of War.
Yeah, you don't want to give those up.
Yeah. So, right around the corner, the next generation of video game consoles. Now, what's interesting is that Xbox has not announced a release date yet. Do you think they'll try and leapfrog Sony?
I don't know. They might want to be careful, you know, because lately, anytime they try to make a move their first initial move sucks.
Yeah.
Then there's backlash, and then the second move is, all right, that's great. So
they got to stop doing 180s, though.
Yeah, it's the first move. They gotta improve that first move.
Right.
And then they'll be good.
So do you think they'll try and release before the PlayStation 4?
I mean, of course they're going to try to. You want to be the first product out before your competitor.
Right.
But, I mean,
is it feasible? We don't know.
Yeah, is it feasible? We don't know. Exactly. And also, if it's not ready, don't do it. You know, take a lesson from Ken Levine. If you don't believe your game, your console, your program is not ready, don't release it yet.
That's right. Take the time that you need.
Ken Levine is proof. Gamers would rather want a quality product than something right now.
I agree. I'm sure a lot of people agree.
Yeah.
Right?
I believe so. Anyway, that's what we have to say about that. Is there any other news about the PlayStation games? Gamescom?
Well, other than Sony landing a whole bunch of indie exclusives for their console, and also stealing from some exclusives from Microsoft, Sony snatched away Minecraft.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, which was a pretty big game for Xbox 360, but that's been announced.
And PC.
And PC, that's right. It's huge.
It's huge on PC.
You go on YouTube and look for Minecraft video. There's millions of them.
Yeah. Any topic, there's a Minecraft of it.
It's true. So now you can build to your heart's content on the PlayStation 4 and the PlayStation 3.
Yeah.
It's coming out for both of them. Stole away a couple of other indie previously exclusives for Xbox. So Sony's hitting all the right notes. So we just need to see if they can have launch day go off without a hitch.
And if they do, we'll give them a trophy.
That's right. A trophy. Successful launch.
Yeah.
I just read the rumor reports say that Microsoft might release the Xbox One on November 21st, which would be a week after PlayStation.
Oh, well, maybe that's the soonest they can get it out.
Maybe.
You know, again, it's quality over time.
The worst thing would be if they rush it and something goes wrong.
Yeah.
If they rush it and there's like another Red Ring of Death or something like that, that would just be disastrous.
That would kill the Xbox One.
That would.
Yeah. Between the whole PR mess that they had earlier this summer and then something like that happening, that would kill any momentum the Xbox One would have.
Right. If I were Microsoft, I'd say just batten down the hatches and hope for the best. I mean, how many units can Sony really push in that 1 week before you go to market?
Yeah.
So don't rush it. Yeah. That's the Crispy Noodle's official advice to Microsoft right now for the Xbox One launch.
Message from the Crispy Noodle.
There you go. All right, so what else do we have in entertainment news? Actually, I think you mentioned that we had some Philly news.
Yeah, this whole episode seems to be mostly Philly news.
Well, we are from Philly.
Yeah!
Go Philly!
Philly! Philly! Philly! Philly! Philly! Philly! Philly!
My dad is just staring at us.
Oh, yeah, your dad?
Yeah, he's over there like eating an orange in the dark.
He's eating an orange?
Yeah.
Why not a hot dog or a hamburger?
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
Do you want to say anything? Do you have anything to say? Have you been waiting for any other food product?
Hot dog!
You gotta come over. You gotta say. If you're gonna say, you gotta come over here. How about if I play the Inspirational America clip?
There you go, Inspirational America.
We're going to do it the American way. I'm going to get the hot dog right off the grill. It's an American holiday. We're going to have American hamburgers.
Everywhere around the world, they come to America. Every time that flag's unfurled, they come to America. They come to America.
No sausages! No sausages!
They come to America!
No sausages!
They come to America today!
It's American! No sausages!
Today!
It's American! No sausages!
Today!
It's American! No sausages!
Today!
Hot dogs and hamburgers are better than sausages!
there you go. A tribute. Right. A tribute to your dad, the patriot, Mr. Costanzo.
True patriot. All and right. He's gone. He's just gone. Like that.
He's gone. He's had enough.
So we were talking about we've officially scared him away.
Yeah. All right.
So a Philly-centric episode today. We have some entertainment news from Philadelphia.
That's right. Actually, it's an update on a story that we covered previously.
Yeah, it
because
is.
We covered the split between Scott Weiland and Stone Temple Pilots.
He's always making waves everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. And Scott Weiland came alone, billed as just Scott Weiland.
Just by himself?
Yeah. Came to play in Philly.
He had a band, though, right?
Yeah, he had a backing band, but, you know, they're nobody famous.
Right.
So it was billed as just Scott Weiland at the Trocadero here in Philadelphia. And on Saturday, during his performance, a chant between the Philly audience consisted of F.U. Chester, a reference to Chester Bennington, the new head singer of Stone Temple Pilots.
That's right.
So apparently Philly is not receptive of the new Stone Temple Pilots lineup.
Or it could just be because they were Scott Weiland fans.
Or, yeah, it could be that too.
That's not cool, though.
Yeah, a little bit. You don't need to call out.
Hey, you're there.
Chester. Chester didn't do anything wrong.
It's not his fault.
Yeah.
Chester didn't do anything.
Right. Chester didn't do anything wrong.
Poor Mr. Bennington. He's already got the name to deal with.
Mr. Bennington.
Mr. Bennington.
Poor Mr. Bennington can't get the crowd on his side.
Oh.
Poor Mr. Bennington.
Yeah, that's apparently what he would have gotten if he was in front of the pro Scott Weiland crowd.
So what happened though?
They're chanting. This happened Saturday night.
Okay.
And then he did another show, and Scott Weiland addressed what happened with the Philly fans, and it kind of sounds he does take one dig at Chester in this response, okay. But it almost kind of sounds like he's apologizing for Philly fans, which
really
you don't want to do.
No.
I mean, if Philly fans have a message, they have a message.
Hey, look, we might be really mean, but don't apologize for us.
Yeah. But if you're going to be a prick to everybody.
Yeah.
If I have a message like being a prick, you be a prick. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
So he publicly apologizes for Philly fans.
Well, this is his quote.
Okay.
And it's this is very odd. So keep in mind, you know, this is... We're dealing with a rock star that we're talking about here.
A rock star with problems.
Yeah.
So.
He said, quote, "It's just a big old planet, a big old universe in a big old circle, and it all works out. Anyway, Chester has his own band that makes a lot of money. I'm not really quite sure why he joined a band who is actually nameless at this time. But the problem is I shouldn't have mentioned Chester anything at all last night, and I apologize to those fans who feel like they are caught in the middle of it. Because I sure feel like I'm caught in the middle of it emotionally, and all I want to do is play music." And then he played the next song.
Okay.
So, what do you think? It does sound like he was apologizing for the behavior of the Philly fans, but then he did make a little dig at Chester.
Yeah. If you're going to... First off, I don't know. The fans' reaction, I guess, wasn't the best. But don't go out apologizing for other people. They should either apologize or you should just move on. But if you are going to apologize, don't throw a dig in there. Don't say, "I'm sorry, but you're an ass."
Yeah.
Just say, "I'm sorry." Right?
"I'm sorry, you ignorant bitch." Or something. I don't know.
I can tell you were thinking of other words.
Yeah. We got to keep this somewhat clean. But yeah, it's weird.
You're saying, "I apologize that the fans were mean to Chester, but I don't like Chester."
Yeah.
Doesn't that sound sort of hypocritical?
He didn't need to say...
You're apologizing for people doing something, and then you
got to go one way or the other.
Yeah.
You either got to be all friendly or not friendly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't have it both ways. You can't have your cake and eat it, too.
Yeah. But anyway, that is Scott Weiland trying to apologize for Philly fans.
Yeah, trying is the key word.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to stick.
Well, we'll see. So next up on the entertainment entree, somebody... I don't have anything.
Wow. Do you want one of my transitions? Would that help you out?
Yes, please.
All right. So there you go. Great. Wow. I think that might have been better than what you just said. Thank you for helping me not feel that bad about myself.
Oh, my God. All right. Let's try this again.
All right. Well, speaking of famous heels.
You know? There you go. That's a transition.
Yeah. There you go.
So, all right, like you said, famous heels.
So, speaking of famous heels, with Scott Weiland and his persona right now, another famous heel, a good, just an idol of mine, Ric Flair.
Yeah, made, a favorite of the show.
Yeah, exactly, with his famous taunts.
Pal, I'm going to take your girlfriend home and make her say Mickey Mouse. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorites.
I don't know what that means, but okay.
My whole career, I've always done better than anybody else. Only because of one reason. I was born with a golden spoon.
Yep, the Ric Flair that was born with a golden spoon.
And has the ability to make people say Mickey Mouse.
Yeah.
So what did he do this time?
Yeah. So WWE has hired 2K Video Games to make its latest incarnation of its yearly... video game program. This year it's going to be called WWE 2K14.
Ah, yes.
Usually it's called WWE the year, like WWE 12, WWE right. 13. But this year, since 2K is part of the program, they're calling it WWE 2K14.
Because they like to put their name in things.
Yeah. And this was a press conference hosted by 2K Games. And what they did was they invited legends to talk about the video game and their wrestling experiences.
And Ric Flair was one of them.
And Ric Flair was one of them. And Jim Ross, he's a classic wrestling announcer, was the host of the show. And he began asking questions to Ric, at which point some say he was drunk during the answering of these questions.
Sounds plausible.
This is alleged allegations. This is allegations.
Alleged allegations. Yes. We're on a roll, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely on a roll today. but anyway, so Jim Ross asked him some questions, and allegedly Ric Flair was drunk during these answers. So I figured we play a couple of answers, and you determine whether or not...
Yeah, I want to hear this drunken rant, or whatever this is.
Well, let's play the... all right, I got four clips here. Okay, and the first clip here is, who would Ric Flair... like to face if he was able to wrestle at WrestleMania 30 next April.
Okay.
Well, let's start with Ric. Ric, would you be could you be convinced to wrestle at WrestleMania 30? And if so, who would you love to wrestle with?
WrestleMania 30. You're talking about in April this year?
April 2014, New Orleans Superdome.
In New Orleans?
If you could have a match.
Give me the word, brother. I'll get myself ready. And, brother, I can still do it. Don't think I can. I got no aches and pains, okay, man. I need some incentive. Who do I want to wrestle?
Yeah.
The only person, I tell this all the time, that I've never wrestled in this business of any notoriety is Cena. He's afraid of me. I saw him today. I said, let's go drink tonight. He said, I'm hiding out in my bus. Cena, you know, the first drink Cena ever had with me. We're in Sherwood Forest in England. And he just won a world championship. And I go,
Robin Hood and Maid Marian had just gone to the room.
Yeah. No, I missed my plane. Not lying. I missed my plane home. But I go to Cena. I said, you're the world champion. You got to buy drinks, you know? He said, I don't drink. I said, good luck with that
Yeah.
So, this is supposed to be a relative, you know, PG crowd,
right.
You know, and he's dropping the S-bomb already.
Yeah, and I think it's funny how he's talking about them buying drinks and both of them sound like they're already liquored up.
Yeah, it sounds like there's a little bit of a slur on his, Cena.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And not only that, but he doesn't make any sense. I mean, some of those words, I was just like, okay, sure.
Yeah, all right, and here's the second clip here. Let's see the second piece of evidence, whether or not is Ric Flair drunk.
Okay.
At this video game convention.
Are we on trial now?
I guess so.
Is he drunk?
All right, here's the second clip.
I've lost complete control of my job. I'm sure I will never be asked back, and this has probably destroyed what career I had left.
And by the way, I introduced Jim Ross to his wife. We go way back. Charleston, West Virginia. We were so drunk, we're all... We got on the airplane. Hey, no. Hey, Charleston, West Virginia, all night. We get on the airplane, and I think the chick is hitting on me. She's hitting on him, right? Then she tells this joke, and they're out of food, so Jim and I drink Bloody Marys for an hour and a half back to Atlanta. His wife is absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. But, I mean, she needs lens grafters, right? Let's go with it, right? Let's get that figured out. Ric Flair in my prime, or him, are you shitting me? I was wrecked. Good Lord.
Yeah,
I just saw her today. She's the greatest. I go, how did that possibly happen? 22 years ago, Jim Ross, Nature Boy. I must have looked rough that morning.
Thanks, Rick.
So, wow. Ric Flair telling the story
so again,
of how he saw Jim Ross, the guy who's asking the questions, yeah. Wife.
So, again, I just want to point out that he is, again, telling a story about drinking.
Yes. And
are we seeing a theme here?
And allegedly just insulting Jim Ross at this point because yeah. He says, how the hell did you
yeah, he said
pick me, her up instead
he,
of me?
He said, me and my prime and him. What's that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
Damn.
Ric Flair is just, he does what he wants.
Yeah, I think he's got a little bit of booze in him right there.
Wow, we're only through half of the clips. You already made your decision?
Well, let's hear the rest, I guess.
All right, here's the third clip that I have here.
Hey, can I have to break in for a minute? The one thing that's cool.
What the hell, why not?
No, because the guys will like this, right? At my age, I'm ready to go. But I have a cosmetic issue, right? And I look like shit, okay? So with the game, they actually make it look like I have muscles. So I'm going to look like I have muscles. You actually have a muscle.
Too, yeah.
You know, that's not true. You know what Arn Anderson calls you, the human jellyfish. Yeah, they actually make it look like we have muscles. Oh, yeah. At knobs, I'm sorry. Knobs are the human jellyfish.
So, again, you know, first of all, if this is supposed to be a PG... show, and they're dropping the S-bomb.
They just don't care.
Yeah, at this point.
At this point, they just don't care.
Yeah. And
they've lost complete control.
And Ric Flair says that he doesn't have the muscles. So, that was an interesting little tidbit.
And also,
he called out Mick Foley. That's who he was talking about. Mick Foley as a human jellyfish.
Okay. He's just all over the place.
Yeah. And I got one last clip here. And this is randomly, to end the night, about marriage.
Oh, that makes perfect sense, I guess.
Let's play the clip.
Some of us will be at New Orleans. I'm not sure all of us are going to make it.
Well, if it's up to my ex-wife, I for sure won't. Good Lord.
Considering I've lost
Nobody
all...
Nobody get married out here, please. It's overrated. If you're even entertaining the thought of your partner being with tonight, and you're thinking about getting married... throw it out. It's overrated. And don't live with her longer than the statute of limitations, okay? You got to pay her anyway.
Thank you, Dr. Phil. And the key word there for Nate is prenup.
Yeah. Oh, I had a prenup. Didn't matter.
Jesus Christ, I started that story.
You kidding? I paid $25,000 for a prenup, and she tore it up, and the lawyer that drew it up retired. Don't give me one on prenups.
Okay.
He's just all over the place.
Yeah. And this is in front of, like, you know, general, like, audiences. This is exactly what, you know, 12-year-old boys want to hear when they get their copy of WWE 2K14.
Yeah.
Prenups.
They're just looking for some marriage advice.
Mommy, Ric Flair told me that marriage isn't worth it.
Well, he's given a relationship advice before.
Pal, I'm going to take your girlfriend home and make her say Mickey Mouse. I'm not kidding you.
Yeah.
He has a history of giving relationship advice.
Yeah. But anyway, there you go.
Ric Flair. Clearly drunk.
Yeah, right. So the judgment is...
Let's make it official. I proclaim that he is drunk.
Yeah, I agree too. There. He's
just all over the place, slurring his words.
I love the times when he's laughing and nobody else is.
He's just, yeah, he's laughing. You'll like start those clips and you just hear him laughing for no reason.
Yeah.
So, yeah, a combination of him being all over the place, slurring his words and just random laughter. I think.
By God, what the hell's going on tonight?
Yeah, he needed to know what was going on tonight. I think he thought it was supposed to be like the same like environment like he grew that he was a heel in, I guess. Because, I mean, during the 90s, it was geared more towards like late teenagers, young adults.
Right. Now, not so
but
much.
But now, WWE is programmed towards PG audiences.
Yeah, closer towards the young teens and the preteens,
yeah.
I guess.
So I guess he didn't get that memo.
I guess not. Much to our enjoyment.
Yeah. And he probably shouldn't be dropping the S-bomb like that in front of kids.
No.
But
hey, if we can take the time to clean up our act, right?
Yeah, why not Ric Flair? All right, so the final verdict, was he drunk?
The answer is yes, you son of a bitch.
I think that sums it up.
That sums it up perfectly.
So there you go. Ric Flair drunk at the... Allegedly drunk.
Yeah, allegedly.
Yeah,
okay.
We have to keep saying that.
Allegedly.
Ric Flair allegedly drunk at the 2K14 press conference. Yeah, so there you go. That ends a crazy entertainment entree segment. And now we get into another wacky segment.
That's right. We only get crazier on this show. We never get more sane. We always get more insane. And what's the most insane section of the show?
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
I love this segment. I know I say it every episode, but I feel like it needs repeating. I do. I have a good time. I sit back. I drink my water. I take notes. And
yeah,
I
that's
just,
all you have to do is take notes.
Yeah, Rich just reads me these nice little stories about domestic disputes and...
whatever else happens.
Hookers and women getting their heads stuck in bars and...
I know some women who could hide a machine gun in there.
Yeah. Women hiding machine guns in...
Hoo-ah!
Yeah, in the hoo-ah.
So, what's on the slate today for our odd news?
All right, I got a couple stories here that are pretty good. You ready for the first one?
Of course.
All right, well, some teachers, their goal is to stimulate young minds. Other teachers prefer to send stimulants by mail.
Uh-oh. I think I might have an inkling of where this is going.
Jennifer Krogman, a 40-year-old teacher, was arrested at her home last month after police received a report that the middle school teacher had packaged a, quote, small amount of methamphetamine to be shipped out of state.
Stop. It's Breaking Bad.
With teachers.
Well, wait, wasn't Breaking Bad?
Oh, yeah, he is a teacher.
I thought you were the one that watches the show.
That's right. He was a teacher. I forgot.
See, nothing harmless here. They were doing like a school play version of Breaking Bad.
Yeah, no big
one. With very legitimate looking props.
Jennifer Krogman teaches dance, health, and physical education.
So she actually teaches health.
Yeah.
And sells meth to students.
Yeah.
What were the health benefits of meth again?
She was arrested for possession of methamphetamine, possession of pot, and being under the influence of a stimulant, according to police. The kicker? She had just written a blog on the school website called, quote, taking responsibility for our actions.
Oh, wow. What were you saying about karma earlier?
Karma's a bitch, I'm telling
you.
Yeah,
man. She must be kicking herself now.
She wrote in the blog, quote, personal responsibility is seen as very important because it reveals how honest a person is and therefore how much we can trust them.
And she's typing this as she's packing up the meth in like little lunch boxes and stuff, right?
Punch the keys, for God's sake.
And it could be a different kind of key.
Sean Connery standing over her shoulder. Now, there's a scene.
Yeah. Type that blog post and send that meth. Hurry up.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. You're the man now, dog.
Oh, wow. I want to see that.
According to a statement released by the school district that she is from, it is their policy to place any employee on administrative leave that is pending the result of a criminal charge or internal investigation, and that is what she's under. So, there you go. Coming soon, Jennifer Krogman, Sean Connery, in
finding Forrester's meth.
Yeah.
Punch the keys, for God's sake. Package that meth.
It could be any kind of key.
What?
Grab that key of meth.
Do a barrel roll.
Punch the keys, for God's sake.
Do a barrel roll.
Oh, I'm getting lightheaded.
Punch the keys and do a barrel roll.
Punch the keys, for God's sake.
Do a barrel roll.
Oh, wow.
All right, so there you go. Crazy case there. You ready for the next story?
Of course.
Abigail Weatherall, a 12-year-old girl, was attacked by a black bear.
What was she doing getting attacked by a black bear?
The seventh grader was attacked as she jogged at dusk Thursday near her grandfather's cabin in a wooded area just outside of Cadillac, Michigan, which is about 200 miles northwest of Detroit. She had been sitting watching the sunset at her grandfather's house when she realized it was time to go back to her home nearby. She set off on a run, and suddenly she came face to face with a bear. Abby said, quote, "The bear was running towards me. I ran as fast as I could, but it cornered me. It then clawed me pretty bad, and then it kind of went off. I got up and started running again, and it came back and got me again."
She just should have stayed there. Isn't that the advice, is to just stay and pretend you're dead? Right?
Well, when the second time the bear came at her, she tried to pet it.
Wait. So you just got mauled by a bear, and now your strategy is to make friends with it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's mauled me enough. It's reached its mauling limit for the day, so now it will respond to kindness.
She said, quote, "I was thinking maybe that if I pet it, it would like me."
Oh.
There you go.
You know
what?
Please like me, please.
She was the one getting that meth from the school teacher. Nice kitty.
Ooh, you're hungry, aren't you?
You're a hungry kitty. No kitty, that's my arm.
Wildlife officials do say that if you're in a situation like that, fighting back or at least making yourself appear bigger is the better tactic.
So is petting considered fighting back then?
No, it's not.
That's
a good,
odd statement.
That's not a good tactic. Don't do that.
So what happened to her after she pet the bear?
Well, the second time after it hurt her, the bear ran away.
So she petted and it ran away?
Well, it attacked her.
Oh.
She got clawed again.
Okay.
But then the bear went away.
So the petting sort of worked, half worked.
Yeah, you know, other than the major clawing.
Yeah. How did she survive this? Not one bear attack, but two bear attacks.
A neighbor heard her screams and were able to get her to a safe spot after the bear went away.
She needed Gary Busey with her.
I wrestled a bear once, 750-pound black bear. They got a big turkey neck, and they rubbed the turkey fat all over my body and put me in a ring with the bear. And then I started to dance with the bear like wrestling. I'm allergic to bear spit. I broke out in big welts. They had to wrap saran wrap around me and then wrestle the bear. I know about bears, and I can talk to them. I can give them a signal that we're safe, like, wee-hee. That's the sound the bear makes.
So,
see, Gary Busey could have helped her out.
Yeah. She is on crutches right now and is expected to make a full recovery. Luckily for her, she could have.
Well,
that could have been bad.
But don't pet bears.
Yeah, that's just.
That's a very bad idea.
That's where you went wrong.
Yeah. I want to know where your mind is at. You know, maybe she was like traumatized from the first attack, so she wasn't thinking clearly. Oh, maybe petting it will make it go away.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Nice try.
Yeah, except in this, your little climber doesn't fall off a cliff. He gets mauled by a bear.
Twice.
Twice. Yeah.
All right. You ready for the next story?
Yep.
We're going to follow the case of Jeffrey Drew Wiltsky.
Ooh, a case.
He lives in the suburbs of Chicago. But in 2011, he legally filed the paperwork to change his name.
Okay.
Are you ready for what he decided to change his name to?
What was the first name?
His real name is Jeffrey Drew Wiltsky.
Jeffrey Drew Wiltsky?
Yeah.
Okay.
He filled out the paperwork in 2011, and then in January 2012, it was official. It was officially declared by the state. Are you ready for what his new name became?
I'm ready. Let's hear it.
Bezal doo doo zo bippity bop bop bop.
Really?
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, take that one for a ride, all right? Bezal doo doo zo bibbity bop bop bop. Three bops. There's three bops.
The bops are very important.
Yeah.
So what's his last name then? Like, what's his first and last name?
I guess his official last name is Zobitty Bop Bop Bop.
Zobitty Bop Bop Bop.
Yeah, because there's a space between there.
So do they call him Mr. Zobitty Bop Bop Bop? You know what? This guy's just pissed at the world. He says, you know what, world? F you, man. I'm going to make my name stupid.
That's what you think it was?
Yeah, that's what it sounded like. What was his name? Zibibit bop bop bop?
Bizao doo doo zo bibidi bop bop bop.
See, I would have changed it to libibida bibidum. So, is this is a song, right?
Apparently.
Plenty of sunshine hit my way.
This is what he sings when he walks down the street.
Zippity day. Zippity-doo-dah, wonderful feeling, wonderful day.
Oh, I'm going zip-zop, zoom-a-da-bop.
Maybe Bill Cosby was also an influence, too.
There you go. So, of influence to this name change.
Yeah, well, he actually gives a detailed breakdown of his name. Are you ready for this?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear this one.
He says, Bizao, the first name, is, quote, the explosion of awareness of the interconnectedness of the infinite love of the universe.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, what else could it be? Bizao! Is that what it sounds like?
Bizao is his first name.
Bizao.
Then his middle name, Doo-Doo, he says that it's...
Doo-Doo.
Yeah. He says that it's, quote, the struggle of our daily lives with that awareness, with love comes chaos. Whatever. And his last name, Zobitty Bop Bop Bop, is, quote, the outcome of that struggle, which is often ironic, especially because all life ends in death.
Whatever. Wow, that was morbid.
Yeah, whatever the hell that means. I don't know how bop, bop, bop means death. Go figure.
Well, it's like you get bopped on the head and you die.
Well, anyway, the reason why I bring this up...
Was he on something?
He managed to stay out of the news for many months, but last week he was arrested in Washington County, Iowa, on charges including felony possession of a controlled substance and the operation of a motor vehicle without registration.
There you go.
Yeah, so there's a reason behind all these name changes.
It's called the drugs.
Yeah, he's on drugs.
Oh, boy.
Down the slope. Oh, I'm going zip-zop, zoom-a-da-bop. Oh, I'm going down the mountain.
So he will be awaiting a trial on this latest charges against him.
So let's hear the name again. Bizao.
Bizao, doo-doo, zo-bitty-bop-bop-bop.
I'll tell you what. Bizao, doo-doo, zibbity, bop-bop-bop.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. It's easy because he does break down each syllable.
Right.
It's not all one word like last week when we were trying to pronounce the foreign words.
Right.
Like, they're not all mashed together. He actually took the time to, like, hyphenate how you're supposed to say each part of the name. So
that was good.
At least he did that. Thank God he did that.
Yeah. Nijne obohosaparav ravava telenajasimu.
Nijne obosoda rova vitel nijimzumu. It could have been that. But instead, that's the case of Bizao Doo-Doo Zobitty Bop Bop Bop.
Wow.
So there you go. If you want to Google
I feel
him,
bad for
go.
The guy that had to write that police report.
Yeah,
because you said he got caught.
His last name is Zobitty Bop Bop Bop, so he has to write that for every time he's mentioning him.
Yeah. Wow.
Zobitty Bop Bop Bop.
I want to know how he fit that on a driver's license.
Oh, I'm going zip zop zooming the bop.
Mr. Bop Bop Bop.
Yeah, Bill Cosby right there.
All right, ready for the next story?
Yeah.
This is a story of biting off more than you can chew.
All right.
Nicola Pete, a 25-year-old girl, suffered a dislocated jaw because she was trying to eat a triple patty burger at a Liverpool restaurant. According to her friend, she was trying to laugh it off at first, but she had to seek medical attention after the pain persisted.
Yeah, your jaw is dislocated.
She said, quote, I felt like I had a cramp in my tongue, but then I started to get an earache and a headache. The next morning, I woke up and felt really ill. The whole side of my head was hurting.
But wait, if something dislocates, it doesn't, like come, like, unhinged?
I don't know. The culprit was a, quote, kids in America triple patty burger from the almost famous restaurant in Liverpool. She even tweeted about it, quote, "I just got out of the restaurant after dislocating my jaw. They really are that big." yeah, you have, yeah, and you have a dislocated jaw to prove from it. You dumb person, you.
You dumb person, you.
If you have to open your mouth that wide, just take a knife and fork. Come on.
Yeah, really. There's no point in risking bodily harm to eat a hamburger.
Yeah, unless you're waiting all week for it.
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
Maybe if you're waiting all week, maybe it's justified.
Then you just attack it ravenously.
Yeah.
You know, humans...
And I've been waiting all week to have a hot dog and a hamburger.
You know, humans, they should develop that thing that snakes have to unhinge their jaws.
No, so really, that way we can consume large quantities of food.
Well, look, if these restaurants keep on having triple and quadruple patty burgers... Yeah. Doesn't Wendy's have, like, the four patties? Or is that Burger King?
I don't know. One of them does.
We should be able to unhinge our jaws. Do you think maybe like 1,000 years from now, humans will have that? Will evolve?
I hope not. With people are going to get fatter. That's the only conclusion from something like that happening.
We have super nimble thumbs and really big mouths.
Great.
Great.
Yeah. I'm sorry. If it gets to the point where you have to dislocate your jaw, don't.
It's not worth it at that point.
Yeah. All right. And I got one last story for you. Are you ready for this?
All right.
And it's just, this is just the way it is. You just got to accept it. This is the world we live in.
All right. I can't wait to hear this one.
A 23-year-old man named Robert Newman has been banned from every single farm in the United Kingdom because he was found having sex with a goat.
Wow. He was banned from every farm for that?
Yep.
I love this goat right now. Hey, that is taken completely out of context, I'll have you know.
Yeah, at least you never wanted to have sex with a goat.
Yeah, I just eat them.
And you love goat.
And I love goat. I love this goat right now.
The weird part is Newman didn't even deny it. He admitted to the court that he did, in fact, did the act.
He was probably proud of it.
Which took place on a Wiltshire farm earlier this year. He will be sentenced to scheduling and time in prison. He has right now been released on bail.
Isn't that nasty?
Yeah.
Like, doing that with a farm animal?
He is currently prohibited from being on any property where farm animals reside.
What about pet stores? What about the zoo?
Oh, God.
I mean, come on now. What if he escalates from goats to something else? What about, like, goats to chimpanzees?
He also has to keep a curfew between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m.
Wait, a curfew between 7 a.m. and 7...
He cannot be out after 7 p.m.
Okay. Wow, that's a strict curfew.
Yeah. Well, that's what happens when you're messing around with goats. Nobody can trust you. Like the teacher with the meth, nobody can trust you.
That's right. He probably wrote a blog post about personal responsibility
with animals.
With animals, yes. We should care for and love our animals.
I love this goat right now.
Yes. We must love our animals the way that we love humans.
Oh, that's just not right. But it's just funny how all of a sudden he's on the hit list of farmers in UK.
Yeah.
Do not let him on your farm.
I don't know. It just seems risky to me doing that with a farm animal.
It's not right.
What happens if it gets frightened and it kicks?
Yeah, that could hurt you.
Or it's just so unhygienic.
Well, just really, you can't
pay for a hooker.
Mike's words of wisdom. If you're that desperate for sex, you might as well just pay a hooker, all right? The more you know here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Well, you know what? It's funny that you bring that up, Rich, because as you know, we've instituted a new segment at the end of every show.
It's that time once again. It's time for What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
Well, let's start off with the last one that we just said. If you're that desperate, kids, just get a hooker. You don't need to resort to farm animals. Really.
Good job, Mike.
Don't do that.
Good job, Mike.
Thank you.
Here's something that I've learned pretty much from doing this Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Okay.
We are really bad at transitions, all right?
Yes, we are.
I mean,
I got nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Look at that. Just really bad at transition.
That was probably the worst one I've had.
All right. What else have you learned on this episode?
Well, we've learned that you can allege allegations.
Yeah. Duh.
Allegedly.
What else do you allege?
Alleged allegations.
Yeah.
Another one of our great verbal flubs, I guess. We've also learned.
Yes, Jesus Mr. Costanzo?
What were we saying about karma again?
Oh, my gosh.
So, we've also learned that Ric Flair is worse than us.
No, I think we've learned that from Ric Flair that marriage is overrated, apparently.
Marriage is overrated.
And don't believe in prenups.
Yes. But it doesn't matter because Ric Flair will just take your girlfriend and make her say Mickey Mouse. Yep.
Or get drunk at a kids' video game panel.
Speaking of kids, you should not pet bears, especially after they maul you.
Yes, that's also important.
They will maul you again. And finally, my favorite piece of advice for the kids out there is to know that if you are a teacher and you are going to be making meth, Sean Carney will help you by providing moral support while you type your blog post.
Make sure you punch the keys, for God's sakes.
Yes! Yes!
And that is what we have learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Woo! There you go. That was a lot of things we learned.
Yes.
Make sure you're keeping a list at home.
Yeah, put them in a little book, write them down, and hold on to them for old time's sake. These are very wise lessons, people. They might not seem like it now, but when you're on that farm and you're faced with a decision, just remember the wise words. Just pay for a hooker.
Good
There's
job,
no
Mike.
Need to resort to that.
Good job, Mike. Mike coming Thanks. Through with his knowledge.
And the celebration music comes on. It means it's time for the end of this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Crazy show, Mike.
Oh, yes. They just keep getting crazier.
Yep. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more from the Crispy Noodle, make sure you check out the website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. And follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to us on YouTube, where you can get the latest highlights and behind-the-scenes videos. And most importantly, subscribe to us on iTunes, where you get the latest podcast downloaded straight to your computer, tablet, phone, MP3 player, whatever.
Yeah. And if you want to follow us individually on Twitter, I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig.
And I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And that'll do it, I think.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
What a crazy show, Mike.
As always.
This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys.
Later.
Punch the keys, for God's sake.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Nejne obohosa parav ravava telenajasima.
Nejne obosoda rova vitel nezimzumu.